Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host. Bill Jack, also in studio with us today. As we apply a biblical worldview to the popular cultural ideas of the day, as well as the political issues of the day, and also encourage you to a distinctively biblical approach to the education of your children, especially as they study their history and their liberal arts. Friends, we provide a distinctively Christian worldview when it comes to American history, world history, and all the other subjects relating to the liberal arts in the high school and junior high years. We encourage you to be sure that you do not give your children a secular education when it comes to their junior high and high school history classes and literature classes. This is the way in which the masses apostatize from the faith and have over the generations. And it's time now to give our children a distinctively Christian worldview perspective on just about everything, every subject, especially when it comes to junior high and high school literature and history. Well, one of the critical issues that arises in American history is eugenics, which ultimately become the cause for World War I, World War II, and unthinkable devastation and destruction upon the entire world. Yes, a very bad idea that came about by Sir Francis Galton and Charles Darwin resulted in the destruction of hundreds of millions of people. Unbelievable devastation coming out of a very, very bad idea. And friends, ideas have consequences, and the bad ideas of Charles Darwin and Sir Francis Galton and others have produced untold misery around the world. And it's interesting, PBS is finally admitting not very much of it. They're admitting a little bit of it, Bill. You have to admit.
Yeah, let me read the opening to this series.
Okay, this is called The Eugenics Crusade, produced by PBS just a few months ago. And they're addressing the issue of eugenics.
Yeah. And here's the narrator. Quote, in the fall of 1902, an American biologist named Charles Benedict Davenport arrived in London on a sort of pilgrimage. He was 36, Harvard educated, and like many biologists of his generation, absorbed with the study of evolution. He had been traveling in Europe with his wife, collecting seashells for research on species variation, but this was to be the highlight of the trip. A meeting with the world-renowned gentleman scientist, Sir Francis Galton. So Davenport took Galton's idea of eugenics and brought it to the United States.
Yes, and mass-produced it as well.
Now notice it says his fascination with what? Evolution.
That's
evolution,
right?
Is at the core of eugenics.
Yes, it is
the foundation upon which eugenics is built.
And his influence upon Teddy Roosevelt, Helen Keller, and of course, Margaret Sanger, obvious. I mean, that's something we all should know from history. Friends, Margaret Sanger quoted, by the way, so that they don't shy away from Margaret Sanger, except they don't include some of her juicier quotes, but they do quote her. The most urgent problem today is how to limit and discourage the overfertility of the mentally and physically defective. But she also said, from my view, I believe that there should be no more babies. And in Women and the New Race, she said the most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. And she also says we don't want the word to go out, that we want to exterminate the Negro population. That's a letter she wrote to Dr. Clarence Gamble on December 10th, 1939. And Margaret Sanger again, these two words, birth control, sum up our whole philosophy. It means the release and cultivation of the better elements of our society and the gradual suppression, elimination, eventual extinction of defective stocks, those human weeds, which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization, and so forth and so on. So there are, of course, many, many juicy quotes from Margaret Sanger, who was a out-and-out eugenicist, racist, and all the rest. And the end results of her work has been the elimination of probably between 1 billion and 2 billion babies since 1950. So indeed, Margaret Sanger probably responsible for the elimination, the abortion, and the use of abortifacients to destroy many, many babies to the tune of between 1 billion and 2 billion babies have been killed as a result of Margaret Sanger's commitment to eliminate children and to go after certain human weeds. That is, certain populations, whether it be of a certain race or whether it be of a limited intellectual capacity or whatever she perceives to be a less than desirable trait, she would weed them out. That was her commitment from the beginning. And Planned Parenthood continues to carry on that legacy with the support of $500 million of taxpayer funding every year. So just to remind you, friends, that your tax monies are going to this kind of thing, and Republican leaders are all in favor of it, or many of them are in favor of it, and would never overturn that funding. Their commitment to eugenics, their commitment to killing babies is still very, very strong. We're going to come back to this this discussion on eugenics in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Why is PBS going after eugenics now? Is this a gigantic reformation sweeping through the public broadcasting system? That's next on Generations.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack with me. PBS has just come out with a tell-all, or tell a little bit, of the eugenics problem, the eugenics crusade that was so popular at the beginning of the 20th century. And, you know, are they asking us to throw out Charles Darwin, Galton, and Spencer? Are they saying, survival of the fittest, bogus theory, let's not go there anymore? Is that what PBS is doing? Are they going to go to the root and pull this weed out? Oh, no. That's not going to happen, Bill. That's not going to happen. They seem to be rejecting the idea of human perfectibility, yet they still hold on to Darwin's evolutionary scheme for the human race. And they also forget that people are still using amniocentesis to kill 90 to 95% of children conceived with Down syndrome. And the Indiana law was tossed out by the Supreme Court of the United States. That Indiana law would have saved Down syndrome babies, and yet tossed out by the Supreme Court of the United States, still just about as eugenic as they were when they decided the case Buck v. Bell.
Yeah.
You remember Buck v. Bell? The Supreme Court justice said three generations of imbeciles is enough. You know, a generation of Down syndrome children is enough. You could just hear the Supreme Court of the United States, as they toss out the Indiana law, what, several weeks ago, saying, you know, a generation of Down syndrome babies, just one is enough. You can hear them saying it today just as enthusiastically as they did some 60 to 70 years ago. So I don't think there's a repentance sweeping through the Supreme Court of the United States right now.
It's interesting. The narrator in this series said, when Davenport sailed for home in December 1902, he carried with him not only a letter of recommendation signed by Galton, but also he later wrote, quote, a renewed courage for the study of evolution, end quote. And Thomas Leonard, a historian, quoting in the series, said, Davenport and Galton really did imagine that the idea of improving human heredity was of almost religious significance, of profound moral importance. They also believed they themselves were qualified to breed a better race because they believed that they were the best and the brightest. This is arrogance. This is elitism. This is man saying, shaking his fist in the face of God, saying, you don't define who's human. We define who's human.
The sheer evil of eugenics, the sheer evil of Charles Darwin and his influence upon the world over the next 150 years is hard to really describe, friends. You need to remember that eugenics and Darwinist racism is the reason for World War I and World War II. Two world wars brought about by Charles Darwin and his cousin Galton. Now, we cover the ideology behind World War I and World War II in our book, America and God's Providence, the absolutely critical American history course, or the American history story that tells the rise and fall of the American Christian Republic over a period of 500 years. And friends, you'll find this to be a coffee table type of book with all the color pictures and such. But also it has a great deal to say about the ideologies behind the wars, as well as the cultural influences that brought about such devastation to the world, especially during the periods of World War I, World War II. Coming up to World War I, it was the Kaiser, Wilhelm II, who said, now comes the Germanic people's fight for the existence against Russia and France. No further conference can smooth this over, for it is not a question of high politics, but of race. For what is at stake is whether the Germanic race is to be or not to be in Europe. So it was a racist conflict for Kaiser Wilhelm. No question whatsoever. It was Darwin and his racism that spurred on the Kaiser in World War I. And of course, World War II is just the very same thing. Herbert Spencer wanted to apply Charles Darwin's evolution to social engineering. He taught that nations were to engage in a struggle for the survival of the strongest. And between 1877 and 1900, 33 translations of Spencer's works were produced in Japanese. America's foremost evolutionist, Professor Edward Morse, also lectured at Tokyo Imperial University for a long time in the latter part of the 19th century and donated his library to the university. It was Charles Darwin's evolution. It was Spencer's social engineering that encouraged the Japanese to what they did. And the end result, of course, were millions upon millions slaughtered. The rape of Nanking, 350,000 people slaughtered in the most cruel possible ways. A 1945 study prepared by the Japanese cabinet also demonstrated with extensive historical data that war was constructive and protracted war was inevitable. And indeed, that protracted war required the thoroughgoing exercise of a nation's quote-unquote, unique racial power. So it was racism. It was Herbert Spencer. It was Charles Darwin that influenced the Japanese to do what they did. And of course, Adolf Hitler's philosophies were identical to this. He clearly believed in total war. Mein Kampf is my struggle, the nation's struggle. Constant and total war was what he was after as well, because it was the struggle and the engagement for the survival of the strongest and the fittest that mattered to him. He derived his ethics from evolution. He said, what is right for apes must be even more applicable to men. That's a quote from Mein Kampf. Friends, you'll get the ideological basis for World War I, World War II in our book, America and God's Providence. Be sure you give your children the right worldview perspective of history. Two world wars were the results of Charles Darwin's philosophies influencing the Japanese and the Germans, as well as the Americans. Friends, eugenics was even more powerful and popular in Germany and America than it was, and in Japan than it was in America. Two world wars did sober up the world a little bit, backing off the eugenics tyrants somewhat. But God sent these wars because he wanted to bring a judgment upon the ideas of Charles Darwin, Nietzsche, Galton, and Spencer. Indeed, when Hitler put a bullet through his own head, that put something of a bullet through the head of a top-down, tyrannical form of eugenics, but it continues just about as strong in the area of individualistically applied eugenics as what we see
they're
with
just changing the name. They're just changing the language.
The Down syndrome babies. Yep. Yeah, we're seeing the same thing. But so many people are caught up in this eugenics mess, just like almost everybody's caught up in the sodomite mess today. It's interesting. Teddy Roosevelt was a liberal, a socialist, and for eugenics as well. One of our worst presidents when it comes to a Christian world and life view. Teddy Roosevelt said, any group of farmers who permitted their best stock not to breed and let all the increase come from the worst stock would be treated as fit inmates for an asylum. Yet we fail to understand that such conduct is rational compared to the conduct of a nation which permits unlimited breeding from the worst stocks.
Yeah.
So he was caught up in it, as was Helen Keller.
Yes.
Who was touted by the media as some wonderful, virtuous American as well, but was a flaming liberal eugenicist. Keller wrote, "Our puny sentimentalism has caused us to forget that a human life is sacred only when it may be of some use to itself and to the world."
Carnegie Institution, the Ford Foundation have been funders of this research from the beginning back in the early 1900s. Since 1900, over 100 million people have been purposely sacrificed on the altar of evolution through the eugenics movement, through the world wars. It's 100 million plus, and that is being conservative.
Be sure you tell your children these stories, because if we understand history in the wrong light, if you read history according to the wrong worldviews, then you're going to receive a false impression of what happened over the last 150 years. It was the ideologies of Nietzsche and Darwin and Marx to some extent as well that brought about such devastation in the entire world, and especially throughout the Western world. The Western apostasy of Margaret Sanger, Teddy Roosevelt, Helen Keller, and others came mostly through Charles Darwin, Galton, and Spencer, and through Harvard and Yale and the other universities. We cover this in America and God's Providence. It was the pride of man, Bill. It was the pride of man. It was the abandonment of God's truth concerning origins, you know, man's basic problem, man's true salvation. These men got everything wrong. Evolution had a devastating effect on political and social leaders and brought about unimaginable devastation and war and government tyranny over the last 100 years. What they did, though, they abandoned God's law as the standard for government. They abandoned a biblical anthropology, a biblical view of origins, and they abandoned God's salvation, which comes by regeneration, not by government policy and eugenics. Man has a problem that's more fundamental than intellectual incapacity, or the idea that somehow some races are less intelligent than other races. Friends, that's not man's problem. Man's problem is sin. And man's mind has been corrupted by sin. What man needs is a savior. What we need is the gospel. We don't need Charles Darwin and Teddy Roosevelt. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform the minds, to renew the minds, so we begin to think biblically and properly concerning everything. This is what we need. This is what the world needs. Not this selective form of breeding.
Yeah. In fact, one of the advocates for eugenics, Goddard, said before the New Jersey State Conference of Charities and Corrections in 1910, quote, "Feeble-mindedness is at the root of probably two-thirds of the problems that you have before you. The cause was, quote, defective ancestry."
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got it right.
He's got
Adam.
It right. It's Adam.
Adam.
It's
Adam
Adam's
was the
sin that has caused a defect in everybody. But at the same time, we recognize that the individual has worth and value because they are created by the Creator. They bear His image. We are misshapen. We are fallen. We are defective creatures because we have a defective ancestry, and it is inherent in our DNA. Sin is part of us. And we are feeble-minded. We cannot think God's thoughts after Him. We need a Savior. It is not man. It is the person Jesus Christ who will redeem, not destroy.
We need to be renewed in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, friends. We need a radical renewal that isn't going to happen by eugenics, not going to happen by survival of the fittest techniques. No, 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 no. Darwin got everything wrong. And to give him any credit, to give him any glory whatsoever, is absolutely antithetical to the Christian faith. And so we would encourage you to get it right, to get it right. Get history right. Give your children a history that is formed on a biblical world and life view. And that's what we provide in America and God's Providence. Also, if you want to know the incredible influence that the great apostates have had upon the entire Western world, get a copy of my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, and we'll draw lines between the ideas and the consequences of those ideas. Jesus said, "By their fruits ye shall know them," and we draw the lines from the ideas of men like Charles Darwin and the horrible consequences that they produced. And that's in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.